Senate will please come to order. Will the members please vote this morning? Have all members voted? Secretary, close roll.
The roll showed 16 senators present today.
Will we stand for the invocation?
Lord, we have now prayed many times in this place. Mostly we have asked guidance, wisdom, and strength, as well as needed rest for those who compose this Senate. Some of us who have offered the prayers have perhaps occasionally fallen under the temptation to push a viewpoint, even to preach. Others may have sought refuge in easy generalities. There are many ways to pray, many things concerning which we recognize the need of prayer. This morning, in addition to our senators, we commend to your grace those others who are a part, sometimes unrecognized, of this legislative process. They are the secretaries, the sergeants at arms, staff people not in these chambers. They are the pages, the camera and sound operators, and the press, the lobbyists, even the visitors. All of these have an effect, whether it be large or small, subtle or obvious, on the work that is done here. It is our heartfelt prayer that the seeds planted by all of these may yield a harvest of justice and blessing for all the people of Alaska and for our nation. Let it be so, Lord. Amen.
Maybe you should come back about every 2 hours today. Senator Gilman.
Ask unanimous consent to be shown as present.
Objection. You have floor, Senator.
Present.
Fisher, Senator Gilman. There, Senator Kelly is keen. No objection. You have floor, Senator Friesen. We'll be at ease, sir. Secretary, wish to certify as correctness of the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify as correctness of the Journal for the 141st Legislative Day, Senate Supplement Number 92 and Joint Supplement Number 25.
Senator Ray.
I move the Journal for the 141st Legislative Day and Senate Supplement Number 92 be approved as certified and Joint House Senate Supplement Number 25.
No objection, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Are there messages from the governor? Senator Ray.
Mr. President,
move we stand in recess for purposes of the leadership caucus.
Call the chair, 10:50. Senate, please come back to order. Are there messages from the governor?
Message of May 28. Dear Senator Curtula, regarding Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 106, State Affairs, amended Senate, an act relating to Alaska bidder preference. Today, I have vetoed this bill. This was received, dated and received May 28, and a letter has been distributed to the senators. May 28, dear President Curtula, today I signed into law Conference Committee Substitute for House Bill 258, an act establishing a special investment tax credit and providing for an effective date, Chapter 60, Session Laws 1984. The two-page letter will be in the journal. Those are the messages from the governor.
Messages from the House.
The House failed.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, could we revert to introduction of guests?
Objection. Revert to introduction of guests. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, it isn't often that we get to honor somebody personally, and today we have a recipient of a citation. It's in the gallery today, in Gallery B. It's Daisy Tunnell. Ms. Tunnell received her bachelor's in elementary education from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina in 1956. She's taught in Nanana, Yakutat, Chugiak, Cooper's Landing, Homer, Meekins, and Hughes. A total of 13 years before she came to Juneau, and she is been a Juneau High assignment since 1967. She has taught language arts at Marie Drake Junior High for the past 17 years, and I believe altogether she has 37 years of teaching. Ms. Pinnell.
Honored to have you today. Secretary, are the messages from the House?
Yes. Message of May 28. The House failed committee substitute for Senate Bill number 407, Resources, Prevention and Abatement of Water Pollution. This has been sent to the permanent files. Messages of May 28. The House adopted the conference committee report considering Senate Bill number 519 and the House committee substitute. Thus, Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 519, State Support of Education, passed the House. The House concurred in the Senate amendment to committee substitute for House Bill number 298, thus Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 298, Finn, establishing a National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Special Revenue Fund, passed the House. The House failed to concur in Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 707, Finance Amended Senate Lobbying, and respectfully requests the Senate to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for House Bill 707. In the event the Senate fails to recede, the Speaker appointed a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the Senate to consider the bills. Representative Bettis was chairman, Representatives Furness and Kopanen.
Senator Ray. Wish this held on the desk to look at it as a lobbying amendment.
Could we stand it?
Yes, perhaps we ought to. We'll bring this before us, Secretary of the Senate, under unfinished business, bring it to our attention. In the meantime, the proponents and opponents might discuss 707 with me in the House failing to accept the Senate amendment. Senator Ray, is there a motion?
Well, I would move the committee substitute for House Bill 707 be held at the bottom of the calendar.
Objection. There were other messages from the House?
There are no other messages from the House.
Are there communications?
There are no communications.
The reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered House Joint Resolution number 73, licensing of commercial halibut vessels in Alaska, and recommends due pass. Signed Senator Farenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senator Sturgalewski, Mulcahy, Eliason, Vic Fisher, and Paul Fisher. HDR 73 has no further referral.
Rules Committee. Committees. Secretary, proceed.
Under Special Committee Reports, May 28, 1984, Conference Committee Report, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee with limited powers of free conference considering CS House Bill 511, Finn, and Senate CS for House Bill 511, Finance, Amended Senate Budget, recommends Conference Committee substitute for House Bill number 511, an act making appropriations for the operating and capital expenses of state government and providing for an effective date, signed Senate members Senator Sackett, Chairman, Senator Bennett, Senator Vic Fisher, House members Representative Adams, Chairman, Representative Bettesworth, Representative Duncan, signed, no recommendation.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate concur in the or adopt the conference committee substitute for House Bill number 511. Ask the body to vote their conscience.
Mr. President. Good floor, Senator.
Brief at ease, please.
There has been a motion proposed adopting the conference committee report, limited powers free conference on 511. Are you ready for the question? Senator Sackett has the floor.
Mr. President, with regard to House Bill 511, which is, of course, the operating budget, if any person has any questions, we have all of the data necessary here and out in the hallway bring in to answer any of the questions. And I'd just like to say that in working on the conference committee, it was a privilege as well as a pleasure to work on the conference committee. We, I think, did a reasonably good job in terms of coming to an agreement between two different opposing sides on a lot of different issues. And I think we took care of about 99% of everyone's needs and may have missed that 1%, but that's probably the highest percentage I know of in any year.
Question is, shall the Senate adopt the conference committee report? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 1 nay.
Senator Ray.
Move the roll call on the adoption of Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 511 Finance. Amended the Senate be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
An objection. Effective date clause adopted.
Give notice of my reconsideration, 511, Mr. President.
Reconsideration notice been given.
Has to be taken up at this time.
Objection. Secretary, read the bill.
Conference Committee Substitute for House Bill 511 by the Conference Committee, an act making appropriations for the operating and capital expenses of state government and providing for an effective date on reconsideration.
Up before you for discussion debate. Senator Ray.
Question
is, shall the Conference Committee report with limited powers free conference of 511 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 1 nay.
Bill is adopted. Senator Ray.
Move the conference committee substitute. The roll call of the conference committee substitute for House Bill number 511 be considered the roll call on effective date clause.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Bill has been adopted. You have the floor, Senator Ray.
We refer to special orders.
Without objection.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the publication notice requirement on the citation honoring Daisy Tunnell be waived and the citation be taken up as special order of business at this time.
Without objection. Secretary, read the citation.
Citation honoring Daisy Tunnell by Senators Sackett and Ray.
You may read this citation. It's entirely.
The members of the 13th Alaska Legislature take great pleasure in extending to Daisy Tunnell the sincere and lasting gratitude of the citizens of the 49th state for the extraordinary contribution she has made to the young people of Alaska. Daisy Tunnell has been recognized throughout Alaska as a dedicated and talented educator, a professional teacher with a true gift. For 32 years, she has served our children at a variety of locations. Daisy began her teaching career at Nenana in 1951. In the years to follow, she taught at Yakutat, Chugiak, Cooper Landing, Homer, Meekins Lodge, Hughes, and for the past 17 years at Juneau. Most recently, she taught at Marie Drake Junior High School. Through the patience, commitment, and ability of this fine woman, countless Alaskan young people have grown to adulthood, knowing who they were and confident in their abilities. Many successful business, professional, and public leaders have benefited from her insistence that they apply themselves. On behalf of all Alaskans, we extend to Daisy Tunnell our sincere gratitude for the fine work she has accomplished. She can leave her teaching career secure in the knowledge that she has succeeded professionally and that she enjoys today the high regard and esteem of not only her peers, but the parents and children of Alaska, by Senators Sackett and Ray.
Without objection, I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor. Senator Ray.
If there are no other additions, I move the citation calendar be approved.
Citation has been adopted. Secretary, proceed with standing committee reports.
The Resources Committee considered Committee substitutes for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 404, Judiciary amended. Fish, game, and other animals, and recommends be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute resources, and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senators Sturgiluski, Eliason, Mulcahy, and Paul Fisher. House Bill 404 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Those are the standing committee reports today.
Are there further special committee reports?
the Conference Committee, May 28, 1984, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee, with limited powers of free conference, considering Senate Bill No. 519 and House CS for Senate Bill 519, State Support for Education, recommends Conference CS for Senate Bill No. 519, an act relating to state support for education and providing for an effective date, be adopted. Signed, Senator Sackett, Chairman, Senators Bennett and Vic Fisher. Signed, Representative Adams, Chairman, Representative Bettesworth. Representative Duncan signed, no recommendation.
Senator Ray.
Move the Senate adopt the Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill 519 and ask the body to vote yes.
The question is, you have the floor, Senator.
Could we have a brief at ease, please?
We'll be at ease. The word basic, the deletion of the word basic.
Senator Mulcahy has the response.
Thank you, Senator Mulcahy.
Mr. President, basic as it's used in the bill applies more under the old foundation formula and the total aid that went out to the under the foundation funding along with supplemental equalization that dealt with the tax equalization. The amount of basic state aid for each district is eligible is calculated by multiplying the instructional units rather than referring to actual classes as we thought it might yesterday, Mr. President.
Question came up. This does not mean then in any way that a basic formula for minimum requirements for education has 100% support or 90% support. It doesn't pertain to addendums or additions put on by the school board for basket weaving or something else.
No. It refers to under the old method, Mr. President, the allowable instruction units that would be allowed per population rather
yes.
than the actual classes.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, just for the satisfaction of my own and perhaps some of the others, is that the consideration of the Finance Committee that this foundation program will take care of the basic school needs 100% funding and anything over and above the supplemental needs is prorated on the foundation program?
General Mulcahy is the floor.
Mr. President, I'm not sure if I understand the question. The formula that was used is the attendance formula that's in place, and this was funded totally with a 4% inflation factor on top of it, plus the PR money. So it's 100% funded to that point, 4% above when you take the inflation factor. It limited that inflation factor to 4%.
Mr. President,
yeah, of course.
We hear so much about from some of the school districts and some of the lobbying efforts that the school, the state does not go forward and fund basic education 100%. And it's been my contention all along that they have, and the frills that perhaps Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and some of the other school districts put over and above that is subject to participation by the local entity. But my question was, is that if this formula now funds basic school education 100% in Alaska or not?
Mr. President, my answer to that would be, as it's defined in the statutes and the bill before us, yes, it does.
You have the floor, Senator Halper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can we assume then that the amount of aid to the organized districts remains about what it is now, or does this bill effectively increase or decrease that amount of aid?
It increases the aid. You have the floor, Senator Mulcahy.
Mr. President, we're using the same factors that was passed in the House Bill 251 of last year. The only thing that we're applying to it this year was a 4% inflation factor. There was some debate, and there was difference between the House version and the Senate version on what that inflation factor should be. The conference committee elected in their negotiations to take the House figure of 4%, which was higher than the Senate figure on this. The Senate had backed into their using the same percentage of support as we had over in FY83 and FY84 by going the 97.2 of full funding, which in reality give an inflation factor of about 2.6. And that was a spread in the conference committee between the House and the Senate, and in the negotiations, as I think everybody on the floor is aware, that they took the House figure there and then split some Senate figures in the revenue sharing and municipal assistance.
Yeah, the floor, Senator.
Just for the record, then, it's my understanding that the legislature of this Senate enacting on this bill is fulfilling the constitutional requirement for the funding of basic education in the state of Alaska. Is that correct?
Senator Mulcahy.
Mr. President, my answer would be yes. I don't know if everybody out there in the world agrees with me, but my answer is yes.
Okay. I think you're correct. Question is, shall Senate adopt the conference committee report? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
Senator Ray.
Move that the roll call vote on the conference committee substitute for Senate Bill number 519. We consider the roll call an effective date clause.
Objection so ordered. Secretary, proceed.
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator Gilman.
Parliamentary inquiry, please.
Yes, sir.
Is it your ruling that conference committee reports may not be reconsidered?
No, you can reconsider. You may reconsider conference committee reports.
Thank you, Mr. President.
The action has to be before you. Secretary, please proceed.
The House passed this conference bill yesterday. The conference, May 29, 1984. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, the conference committee, considering committee substitute for House Bill 504 Finance and Senate CS for CS for House Bill 5.
Rules Chairperson, you're seated before.
Just to brief at ease, Mr. President.
At ease.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, the conference committee considering CSHB 504 Fin and SCSCS House Bill 504 Judiciary recommends adopting conference committee substitute for House Bill number 504, an act establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program. Signed, Senate members, Senator Sackett, Chairman. Senator Ray signed no recommendations. Senator Josephson. Senator Representative Hurlburt, Chairman. Representative Adams. Representative Davis signed no recommendation.
Senator Ray.
Move the Senate adopt the conference committee report for House Bill number 504. Ask the body to vote yes.
Question is, shall the... You have the floor, Senator.
Just a clarification, Mr. President. In the event a student comes back as a graduate and they work 1 year and then leave the employment, does the 50% forgiveness apply at that point, or is the remaining 85% due?
You have floor, Senator Sackett.
We'll
be at ease.
Questions?
Satisfied the answer, Senator Victor, Paul Fisher. Question is, shall House Bill 504, Free Conference Committee, or the Conference Committee on House Bill 504, shall that report be adopted? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary close the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 2 nays.
Senator Wright.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and the conference committee substitute for House Bill number 504 be considered a roll call and effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Effective. You have floor, Senator.
Give notice of reconsideration and committee substitute House Bill 504. Ask to take it at this time.
Reconsideration has been given. Secretary, read the bill. No objection to it being taken up this time.
Conference committee substitute for House Bill number 504 by the conference committee, an act establishing this teacher scholarship loan program and providing for an effective date on reconsideration.
The bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Question is called for. The question is, shall the conference committee report on House Bill 504 be adopted? You proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 2 nays.
Senator Wright.
Again, I would move the roll call vote on the passage of conference committee substitute for House Bill 504. We consider the roll call and effective date clause.
No objection, so ordered. Are there any more, are there further reports, special committees? There are none?
There are none.
There are no resolutions or bills. Senator Wright.
We stand at ease.
We'll be at ease. Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to skip on down to committee announcements.
You have the floor, Senator.
The Finance Committee will meet this afternoon, taking up committee substitute for House Bill 371, something to do with contracts for Tesoro or something like that.
Senator Wright.
Move the reconsideration on Senate Bill 255 be taken up this time.
Objection. Secretary, read the bill.
Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 255 by the Conference Committee. Is this a House message? Oh, I'm sorry.
It isn't a Conference Committee report.
No. Message of May 26, the House passed. Conference Committee substitute for Senate Bill. Actually, all I have to read is House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 255 Finance. By the Finance Committee, an act relating to the payment of attorney services and expenses for indigent criminal defendants prosecuted by municipalities and providing for an effective date on reconsideration.
Mr. President, I believe that passed in the rules version, did it not?
Secretary of Senate, there's a House Committee substitute.
Senate Bill 255 rule.
A House Committee substitute was adopted.
Oh, House Committee substitute. Right on Senate.
Questions before you is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments?
Aye.
Question is called for. You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 12 yeas, 7 nays, and 1 absent.
Senator Ray, is there effective date?
There is no effective date.
Bill's been adopted.
It's my intention of making a recess motion, so if there is any other member that has any business on the time.
Senator Kelly.
We have my reconsideration of Senate Bill 288 at this time.
Reconsideration of Senate Bill 288 has been brought up.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 288.
Fisheries on reconsideration.
Bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Senator Lyson has the floor.
Mr. President, once more before we make a final determination of this bill, I'd just like to express what I read in this particular bill, what it's going to do to the Fish Board and how it's going to affect the constituents that I represent and also the constituents that you represent and others in this body. The bill we sent to the House, Mr. President, said in effect was a good bill, I thought. It addressed some of the problems that we've have had or perceived to had with the appointments to the Board of Fish. It provided that one member should reside in each judicial district in the state, and I think that's a good amendment. I think that that this practice is being followed at the present time, but I think it's very important that we have people on that board who reside in different areas of the state so they can bring that expertise to the board. And we also said at least two members shall participate in the sport fisheries. And Mr. President, that's not unreasonable. So that house, that bill went to the House, and what was returned to the Senate is entirely different. They kept those provisions, and they added one which said, in effect, that at least one member shall have a history of participation, working knowledge of subsistence fishing. I think that's a good amendment. I think that inasmuch as we had that on the ballot last election, that subsistence use of the fish and game resources of the state is a primary use, and I think they should be represented on the fish board. But the part that bothers me, Mr. President, is the fact that they say that no more than four members shall be commercial fishermen. What we have done here, Mr. President, is say that we are putting aside one seat for subsistence use, which I think is proper. We're putting two seats aside for sports fisheries. I think that's proper. However, Mr. President, when we talk about the commercial fishermen, what we're doing, we're setting aside a big fat zero for the commercial fishermen. There is no provisions to provide any seats whatsoever on that board for commercial fishermen. And there are 48,000 commercial fishermen out there. I think that's wrong. I don't think it's fair. I don't think anybody's body agrees it's fair. We're not only doing that, Mr. President, but we're also saying that we're allowing subsistence people to have five members on the board. There's no limit. We're allowing sports fisheries six members. On the same token, we're saying that commercial fishermen can only have four members. Now, is that fair? I don't think it is. Certainly not in my book. It seems to me, Mr. President, if we put this on the ballot as an advisory vote and ask the people out there if we should pass a bill which structures the Board of Fisheries, which says provides for one seat for subsistence fit users, two seats for sports fishermen, and provides no seats for commercial fishermen, do you think they would vote for that? They'd say no. It's not fair. It's simply discrimination. If we put the same thing on the ballot, Mr. President, that says we'll allow subsistence fishermen to have five seats, we'll allow sports fishermen to have six seats, but we'll limit the commercial fisheries to four seats. Now, is that fair? I don't think so. I don't think the people of state think it's fair. I don't think it answers the concerns of the sports fishermen. When we go home and tell the sports fishermen that we have provided for seats on that board, we set aside two seats for sport group. We set one aside for subsistence. We eliminate any seats for commercial fishermen. Are they going to say that's what we want? No. They're going to say, no, that isn't the message we're sending you. The message we're sending you is that we want representation on that board. And we're providing that. We certainly aren't providing any seats whatsoever for the commercial fishermen. I think that's wrong. It's wrong, and I think that the people in this body agree with it's wrong. And I think that if you think it's fair, vote for it. If you think it's fair, vote for it. But if you think it's wrong, if you think we're not getting representation on this board, I would suggest we turn this down, send a message to the House saying you can at least, the very least you can do is provide for two seats for the commercial fishermen on that board. That's all we're asking. Now, that's fair. So I recommend, Mr. President, that we reject this bill, we send it back to the House, ask them to send us back something that is fair, that we can live with. That's all.
Question? Question called for? Question is, shall the Senate adopt the House amendments to Senate Bill 288? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 11 yeas, 9 nays.
Senate has adopted the House amendments. Senator Rainey.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 255 Finance be considered the roll call on effective date clause. It did have an effective date.
Not
clause.
Objection. So ordered. Floor, Senator.
Can we have an ease, please?
It would be ease. Effective date clause to Senate Bill 255 be adopted. You may proceed. If all members voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas on the effective date.
And adopted. Senator Rainey.
It is again my intention to place a recess motion for 2:30.
We're in recess.
Rules committee meeting at approximately 2, and
rules
the agendas are out.
Rules committee meeting at 2.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
When do you want to go to conference? There are reports of standing committees. May we revert up the calendar without objection.
The Judiciary Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 66 amended, removal of World War II artifacts from the state. With a majority do pass, signed Senator Ray Chairman, concurring Senator Elias and Ziegler and Josephson. Senator Prejean signed no recommendation. HJR 66M has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Labor and Commerce considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 505, Judiciary Insurance. Senator Elias and Chairman and Senator Prejean signed do pass. Senator Rohde signed no recommendation. House Bill 505 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Judiciary considered committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 678, State Affairs, Preservation of World War II Artifacts, and with a majority do pass. Signed Senator Ray Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler, Josephson, and Elias, and Senator Prejean signed no recommendation. House Bill 678 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered the following and recommend they be placed on the supplemental calendar. SB 464, revising the laws to horizontal property regimes. CS House Bill 571, Finn, venue of actions in Superior Court. House Bill 611, dentists and dental hygienists. House Bill 663, certain state housing loan programs. House Bill 664, appropriations to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. House Bill 665, issuance of tax-exempt state guaranteed revenue bonds by ASHA. These do appear on today's calendar. Signed Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Kelly, and Bennett on the supplemental. Those are the standing committee reports this afternoon.
There will be a motion to adopt the supplemental calendar.
Senator Ray. So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, supplemental calendar has been adopted. There's been a request for a quick leadership caucus, Senator Ray. I think we're two of the calendar. Is that not right, Secretary of the Senate?
There are two calendars.
Yes, we have both calendars before us. Senator Ray.
Will we recess to the college chair for leadership caucus?
We should be just 5 minutes. 5.5 minutes. You have the floor, Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. President, I would like to bring up the reconsideration of Senate Joint Resolution 46 at this time.
That is correct. You are in order. Secretary, read the resolution.
CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 46, Judiciary, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to public corporations. In third reading on reconsideration.
The bill is before you for debate. Senator Victor Fisher has the floor.
Mr. President, after the debate on the floor yesterday, when I was discussing some of my responses, somebody accusingly called me an idealist. And I guess, Mr. President, I am, and I don't take that as a negative handle. For one thing, I do believe that the Constitution and a constitutional amendment should not be used as a political football. As I stated over and over again yesterday and before, I believe the issue before us on the constitutional amendment for public corporations should be
evaluated on its own merits. When I started having indications that that was not so, last Saturday I discussed with some of my colleagues the possibility of withdrawing SJR 46. At that time, I was asked to hold off. I was prevailed upon to take some time and see what would happen. Yesterday, I rose and spoke on SJR 46, and today I still believe in its basic purpose and substance. However, what has happened is that it clearly is being used or is being seen by some as a political club to beat the incumbent governor over the head. It's been used as a device for legislative maneuvering. And also, I found that people are being held to a commitment to vote for this particular resolution, even they don't personally support the resolution. So that my conclusion, Mr. President, is that it is not being considered on its own merits, and it has been tied in with the railroad issue, with lots of other issue, and I do believe it needs to be divorced from that. Therefore, Mr. President, I believe that the appropriate thing to do is to set the resolution aside at this time and consider it on its own merits at the beginning of the next session. I intend at that time, if it is voted down today, to bring it up again and pursue it in, you might say, a fresh environment. In the meantime, Mr. President, I intend to vote no on my own resolution.
My question is called for. You have the floor, Senator.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Yesterday, my colleague from downtown Anchorage made a big issue of the fact that not one citizen of the state of Alaska had contacted him about this resolution. Not one citizen seemed to care about this resolution. Not one citizen seemed to think that this resolution was necessary. Dittman Research today, Dave Dittman, called me. I did not call him and left a message with my staff. He has taken a recent statewide poll on the Alaska Railroad issue. 19% of those citizens statewide, 19% think the governor should have a say in the operations and management of the Alaska Railroad. 19% statewide. 45% think that the railroad should be in private hands no matter what, even if it goes on the auction block. The rest feel that the railroad, in order to be a viable economic entity, should operate as privately and as independently as possible. So someone out there does care, and there are people out there that do listen.
Of course, Senator.
Mr. President, I would just like to make perfectly clear to my esteemed colleague from downtown Anchorage and anybody else on this floor that I am voting in favor of this resolution because I believe it is a good idea on the merits. And if somebody believes it's a good idea on the merits and votes against it, they are playing politics. I'm not.
Senator Moss?
Mr. President, I'd like to say I'm voting for the resolution also, primarily not just for the benefit of the railroad, but for the benefit of the other many public corporations that we have that we are faced with working with in the state today. I think that also, if you want to tie this strictly to the railroad itself, it's giving those people out there that have heard so many yards of words for the past 2 years or more about the railroad, it gives them an opportunity to say something one way or another if we place it on the ballot this coming November for the people of the state of Alaska to say something. And I think that's one reason also we should put the thing before the people.
Further debate? Senator Joseph.
Mr. President, very briefly, I know there are many Alaskans who do not understand why the railroad acquisition is even before us and who believe that if there is a railroad, if there is to be a railroad, it ought to be a viable private entity, and if it can't be a viable private entity, perhaps there shouldn't be a railroad. I think there are others who want the state to operate the railroad either permanently or temporarily, but to use business practices and to follow a private sector model in as much as we can do that. Mr. President,
I don't know of any private sector models where the chairman of the board and the board of directors and the stockholders cannot remove officers who do not do their job. Occasionally, a contract is given, and then you get into the matter of buying someone's contract out. But I don't know, in the private world of industry and in the railroad business, where you have a chairman of the board or a president of a company who is given officers who do not serve at that person's pleasure at the policy-making level. And if we're going to follow the private model, which is what I'm told we're supposed to do, then I think the resolution should fail.
Senator Lassen.
Mr. President, I guess it must be show-and-tell time. Senator Fisher says he's an idealist. I guess I'm a realist. I know that this is not going to pass. My objections to the amendment, I was willing to support the amendment, but certainly didn't go far enough to suit me. I think that the railroad issue is certainly something that's another issue. I think that we have public corporations out there, Alaska Power Authority, Alaska State Housing Authority, Alaska Municipal Bank, even the Alaska Capital City Development Corporation, who serve at the pleasure of the governor, and that should be. However, Mr. President, that this legislature should have some input in whether or not we want those people to serve on the boards. And once we confirm them, the governor can fire them. I don't have a problem with that, but I think they're handling millions and millions, they're handling billions of dollars out there. And this legislature has nothing to say about it. We can't vote one way or another to approve those directors, and I think we should. I think that's the issue. It's not the railroad.
Floor, Senator.
Well, Mr. President, there's been a lot of talk about what we should do with ASHA and the Permanent Fund and all these other corporations. Those are creatures that have been put together by the legislature themselves. We drafted the legislation. We made them public corporations. All we have to do is turn around and take them away from public corporation status and make them something else, if that's really what we want to do.
Floor, Senator.
Mr. President, not to belabor the point, but I wish it were that simple. Senator Ray knows it's not, and we all know it's not easy.
You ready for the question? Question before us is, shall Senate Joint Resolution 46, shall it be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Senator Ferguson? Does any other member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close roll.
The roll shows 10 yeas, 10 nays.
Resolution has not been adopted. Next item on the daily calendar, Secretary of the Senate.
The regular calendar starts with House Bill 512. Would you like that one?
Yes. Senator Ray?
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 512 be held one legislative day.
No objection. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 705. Mr. President, can I ask a moment? Will be these. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 705. The Secretary reads House Bill 705 by title author committee report.
CS for House Bill number 705, financed by the Finance Committee and Act relating to the Real Estate Surety Fund. Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute with a new fiscal note and do pass. Signed, Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senators Rohde and Pettyjohn. There is a Labor and Commerce SCS.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to Labor and Commerce House Bill 705.
No objection. Secretary Reed, bill.
Senate CS for House Bill number 705, LNC, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to the Real Estate Surety Fund.
The bill is before you in second reading. Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Oh, yes, there is.
Senator Victor Fisher.
An amendment just being passed out, Mr. President.
Amendments being passed out. We'll stand at ease for just a moment. Fisher has distributed the amendment. Senator Fisher, you may move the amendment.
Mr. President, I would like to move amendment number one.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, the bill provides for a $250 filing fee for claims which could possibly be a deterrent. The amendment is designed to lessen this deterrent factor. It would be less of a deterrent if people could know that would have a way of finding out whether a claim is valid or not. Under the amendment, a person could file a claim and provide a filing fee. Then they could get their filing fee back if they withdraw the claim at any time before the case is heard. This provides them an opportunity to meet with the hearing officer to review the cause and request dismissal of their claim. So this simply adds one more cause for the refund. And Mr. President, I've discussed this with the chairman of Labor and Commerce, and I believe he concurs with the amendment.
Yes, ma'am.
And I ask unanimous consent.
Senator, I object just for a moment. It says page 3, now this is amendment 1 by Victor Fisher. It says page 3, line 3, after if, insert 1. Is that what it says on top of your amendment? Page 3, line 3, may be used to satisfy the judgment. I think I have the committee substitute. Maybe I have the wrong committee substitute. I must not have the right committee substitute. Could I?
Yes. It would. This is the SCS LNC.
May I have a copy of that? Thank you. Excuse me. Yes, I have only had the Finance Committee substitute. Thank you. There's no objection to the amendment. There's objection.
Mr. President, page 3, line 3, after it, insert 1. What the heck does that mean?
Senator Victor Fisher?
It would read, the filing fee shall be refunded only if, 1, the commission makes an award to the claimant from the real estate surety fund, 2, or if the claim is dismissed under C of this section, or 3, the claim is withdrawn by the claimant before the commission holds a hearing on the claim.
That's reading in context.
I would call objection.
There's no further objection. The amendment's adopted. Are there other amendments?
There's amendment number 2 by Senator Pettyjohn on page 1, line 18, after the word agreement, insert with the commission.
Senator Pettyjohn?
I move amendment number 2, Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
Basically, this just clarifies the fact that if there is a suspension given a broker or agent after a hearing, that the agreement they reach on repayment of the amounts that are coming from the surety fund, that agreement will be with the commission and not with any third party, and it's just basically a clarification.
There's no objection.
Ask unanimous consent.
It's adopted. Absence of further amendments, Senator A.
Move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 705, Labor and Commerce, amended, be considered in gross, advance third reading, place the final package. Oh, this advances the third reading.
Without objection, Secretary, read the bill on third reading.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 705, LNC, amended Senate, an act relating to the Real Estate Surety Fund.
Bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Commerce Chairman.
Mr. President, Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 705, Labor and Commerce, is a compromise bill which addresses many of the concerns expressed by Alaska realtors who are, while not jeopardizing the public interest. Under this legislation, if a claim is filed with Alaska Real Estate Commission against a realtor, the real estate agent can elect to defend the claim as a small claims action if the claim does not exceed the small claims jurisdictional limit. If the claim exceeds the small claims limit, the Real Estate Commission will execute the settlement through the existing hearing officer's procedure. Under this proposed legislation, a claimant shall pay a filing fee of $250 at the time the claim is filed with the commission. This fee shall be refunded only if the claimant prevails. Such a filing fee will discourage frivolous claims without necessarily impeding valid claims. This committee substitute sets up a mechanism to ensure that the Real Estate Commission can effectively enforce a repayment to the surety fund. if this fund is used to reimburse a claim brought forth because of realtor's action. This bill has the support of Alaska Real Estate Commission. We've worked closely with the Department of Justice, of the Consumer Protection Division, and Mr. President, I believe it's a good bill. I think it deserves our support.
Question before you. Question is, shall House Bill 705 amended pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
Bill has been adopted. We'll go to the citation calendar since it's on the original calendar. Secretary may read the citations.
Citations, honoring the Frontiersman by Senator Curtula, honoring Francis Brimmer by Senators Gilman, Paul Fisher, and Sturgiluski, and Representatives Malone and Fritz, in memoriam, Roger Culp, Larry McVeigh, Dale Majesty, Albert Hagen, Lyman Joyce, and Marshall Klein, Fred Burke, by Representatives Davis, Hurlburt, Bedesworth, Liska, Zemanski, Vaska, Copeland, Ringstead, Schultz, M.W. Miller, and all other members of the House, and Senator Hofford, honoring Taiwan Trade Delegation by Senators Vic Fisher, Ziegler, Curtula, Paul Fisher, and Sturgiluski. Honoring Korean Trade Delegation by Senators Vic Fisher, Ziegler, and Sturgiluski.
Senator Paul Fisher.
So I ask unanimous consent, Mr. President, to be included on the Korean Trade Delegation.
No objection. I'd like to make the same motion. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to the memoriam for Roger Culp, etc.
No objection. So ordered.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that the memoriam be by all of the members of the Senate.
Yes, without objection.
And inquiry, Mr. President, whatever happened to our copies of the Alaska Farmer? I used to enjoy those immensely. We were still getting them. I'd kind of like to compliment them, if, even in absentia, if possible.
I think they were succeeded by your favorite newspaper, Senator.
Oh, okay. I'll go down and find out.
I'll do it, Senator.
All right. If there's no other corrections, I would move the citation account to be approved as read.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary Reed, Senate Bill 464 by title author and committee report.
Senate Bill number 464 by Senator Hofford, an act permitting the establishment of horizontal property regimes for mobile homes. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute. Senator Eliason with the new title. Senator Eliason, Chairman, signed do pass. Senator Sackett signed send to Finance Committee. No recommendation because of AHFC impact. Signing no recommendation were Senators Petty, John, Mulcahy, and Rohde. The Judiciary Committee waived referral. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute finance with the majority do pass. Signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Fakes, and Vic Fisher. Senator Ferguson signed the recommendation.
Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
Move and ask unanimous consent for adoption of the Finance Committee report.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 464, financed by the Finance Committee, an act permitting the establishment of horizontal property regimes for mobile homes.
Senator Wright. Rotation of the title change. Adopted. Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
The absence of amendments?
In the absence of amendments, I would move that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 464 Finance be considered the engrossed in that third reading, put in final passage.
Without objection, it is so ordered. Secretary, read the bill in third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 464 Finance, an act permitting the establishment of horizontal property regimes for mobile homes.
Bill is before you for discussion. Senator Halford has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think this bill can provide part of the solution to the current state exposure in the mobile home loan package. I think it can also provide some additional benefits to the owners of mobile homes. It can provide them the security of private property through an association. It can provide them with additional incentive for quality and the upkeep and the care of the park that they live in, and it also allows them to be building equity so that when they do decide to leave, they have something to sell. I think it's a
now, again, a small bill that was as it was originally introduced, but I think it can do quite a bit of good in dealing with the overall problem with the mobile home loan programs in existence today.
The floor, Senator.
Mr. President, just a brief comment. This is a very desirable piece of legislation. I think that this body ought to take a look next year at what is done by municipalities and AHFC with regard to the regulations that provide for mobile home condominiums, because they can either be a blessing or a blight. And obviously, since the public is holding that portfolio, we want them to be well-designed and appreciating investments for the state. In addition, I might note parenthetically that we should probably redraft the Horizontal Property Regime Act. It is woefully out of date. I believe you remember the body when we originally passed it some years ago, but before present development.
For the interim consideration. Question is, shall Senate Bill 464 amended pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
Bill has been adopted with title change. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 571. Will the Secretary read the bill by title off the committee report?
CS for House Bill number 571, financed by the Finance Committee, and acquiescing to venue of actions in Superior Court and the number of Superior and District Court judges, and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senator Ziegler, Josephson, Eliason, and Pettyjohn. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends the Judiciary Senate Committee substitute do pass with the new fiscal note. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senator Sackett, Ferguson, Mulcahy, Josephson, Fakes, and Vic Fisher.
Senator Ray.
Will the Judiciary substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill?
Has consent been asked? There's no objection. It's adopted. Secretary, read it.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 571, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to venue of actions in Superior Court and the number of Superior and District Court judges, and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 571 amended is before you for discussion or debate. Senator Ray.
What this does, Mr. President, is it increases the number of judges from 27 to 29.
About it. Superior Court judges.
Yes. Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
When this came over there, there were some problems with the fiscal note, just for the information of the body at the present time, and this is included in House Bill, the Free Conference Committee report on House Bill 511, are the attached new fiscal notes. Department of Law 127.1, Public Defender 127.1, the Court Systems 890.6, Corrections $49,007, and Troopers $46,000.5, for a total of $1,270.3.
Two judges. Question before you. There's no further debate. Question is, shall House Bill 571 be adopted? Senator Ray? I apologize. We read it in his committee substitute. You are correct, Senator.
Move the Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 571, Judiciary be passed third reading, place the final passage.
Without objection. Secretary will read this bill in third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill number 571, Judiciary, an act relating to venue of actions in Superior Court and the number of Superior and District Court judges, and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you. Discussion for debate and third reading. Senator Gilman has the floor.
Mr. President, when we were discussing this in second reading, it said there were two judges provided for. But on page two, that appears like 10 additional district court judges.
Senator Ray, Senator Sack, Senator Ray.
No, all it does is put in the line the exact number of judges that are presently sitting on the bench. We have three district court judges in the first district, one in the second, 12 in the third, and four in the fourth.
An addendum to what Senator Ray indicated, the court system already, through administrative action, had already added eight. And so this is just complying with what already had occurred.
Put them in the shape so you can identify exactly how many people are sitting on the bench.
Senator Rohde, you wish the floor?
Mr. President, just a brief question to the Judiciary Chairman. Does the section on venue make any changes in court rule?
To the floor, Senator.
It's my understanding it does not.
Does anybody wish to disqualify himself for this vote? It's always interesting, you know. The question is, shall House Bill 571, shall House Bill 571 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas and one absent.
Senator Ray?
Move the roll call vote on Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 571 and Judiciary to consider the roll call and effective date clause.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 611.
CS for House Bill number 611, HESS, by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to dentists and natural hygienists. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Joseph, Chairman, concurring Senators Hofford, Moss, and Paul Fisher.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
You have the floor, Senator.
In the absence of amendments, I would move committee substitute for House Bill 611 Hess be advanced third reading, place the final passage.
Objection. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for House Bill number 611, HESS, an act relating to dentists and dental hygienists.
The bill is before you for discussion. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, this bill has virtually unanimous support, including support from the Dental Association and the dental hygienists. It is essentially an update of the existing code relating to dentists. For example, the existing law makes language reference to an examination of the National Board of Examiners. That language needs to be changed because of changes in the way national examinations are prepared. The bill also expands grounds for discipline of a dentist to include situations where there are improper billings for professional services, a problem not now covered by the existing law. Under the bill, the board would have additional authority for discipline, expanding its authority, which is limited now to the revocation or suspension of a license, to the reprimand or censure of a dentist as well. In addition, Mr. President, provision is made for the suspension of a member of the dental board from office for violation of statutes or pending a hearing against the dentist on an accusation made against the dentist. No such authority for suspending a board member now exists. The bill also contains new provisions by which the dental board may order a licensed dentist or dental hygienist to submit to a physical or mental examination if the mental or physical capacity of that person has been brought into issue, and also gives the board authority to inspect the facilities of the dentist at reasonable times and in reasonable manners, which is not now provided for by statute. Mr. President, the board would have authority for suspending or disciplining a dentist who does involve himself or herself in fraudulent billing practices, which is another remedy not available at this time. And there are provisions for giving temporary licenses to dentists who are teaching or demonstrating clinical techniques at a meeting, seminar, or limited course of instruction within Alaska. No such authority exists now, and those people coming in to give lectures here are technically violating the Dental Practice Act of Alaska. The bill also allows a dentist who is licensed in another state to provide emergency care to an injured or ill person within the state in an emergency situation if no remuneration is given, and that also is not now covered by existing law. I recommend that the bill be enacted.
Senator,
Mr. President, through the chair to the chairman of the Hess Committee, would it be accurate to sum this bill up to say that it puts some teeth into present law?
Mr. President, are they real or false? You have the floor.
I agree. The senator's not just chewing his gum.
question before us is, shall House Bill 611, shall House Bill 611 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Any member desire to change his vote? I'll change my vote. Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 19 yeas, 1 absent.
It's been adopted. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 663.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 663, Finance Amended, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to certain state housing loan programs and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute with the majority due pass with the letter of intent, signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Ferguson, Mulcahy, Josephson, and Vic Fisher. Senator Fake signed no recommendation.
Mr. President. You have the floor, Senator.
Move next to Senate for adoption of the Finance Committee report.
Objections noted. You have the floor, Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, there are approximately 40 AHSC seller servicers, of which I have an interest in one, and a potential conflict of interest, and I would move and ask unanimous consent I'd be allowed to abstain from voting on House Bill 663, 664, 665.
Objection. I suppose varying banks, as a matter of fact, that you have stock interests in would be a primary market for secondary mortgage market. I suppose I had better make the same statement, Senator. I'd ask to be relieved from the vote on those three bills also. You have the floor, Senator.
Well, Mr. President, then under the same scenario, I own stock in a bank that would be a primary lender here. I would ask and ask unanimous consent to be relieved from voting on these three bills.
Object. You have the floor, Senator.
Yes, I'd make the same request, Mr. President.
Same objection. Senator A.
I owe money to the bank. I'd like to get this.
Senator A is relieved under other basis. Senator Sackett.
I now ask unanimous consent.
There's no objection. So ordered.
Mr. President, I'd make the same request.
Objection. There is objection. Everyone will vote on this subject. Senator Ziegler also makes a statement. Senator Elias, it should be noted. Probably all. Question is before us in second reading, six. You have the floor, Senator.
Move and ask unanimous consent to Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 663, Finance. The advance third reading, place the final passage.
There is objection. Apparently, there is an amendment.
I'm sorry, there is an amendment on the.
Are there amendments to this bill?
There is an amendment, number one, by Senator Elias on page 2, line 9. Delete Baranoff Island, add Baranoff and Japonsky Islands.
Senator Elias. You have the floor, Senator.
Amendment number one, ask unanimous consent.
There's no objection. The amendment's adopted. You have the floor, Senator Gilman.
I don't have a specific amendment, but I would like to ask a question that which may lead up to an amendment.
You have the floor, and you may ask.
The question is, Mr. President, in the definition, again, of rural housing or rural. I believe it says in here somewhere, and I saw it just as I was going through the bill this morning on page 7B. I'm asking if that's new language where it says 100 nautical miles from the.
Is there a response to the question? Page 7B?
Page 7, line 4, which is B,
yes,
under
sir.
5B.
You have floor, Senator Sackett.
Yes, it is. Mr. President, then going back to, if I could continue, sir.
You have floor, Senator.
Going back to the communities that are listed here under page 1, item 6, Cook Inlet Tribal Council, and also the bottom page 1, line 29, North Pacific Rim, I believe that there are several communities that are listed there that are within that 100 nautical miles as specified. And I guess my question is, does that mean those communities would not be
eligible under this particular act, even though they're listed as part of the housing authority.
You have floor, Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, the name change in the first section of the bill doesn't pertain to the language that's in the main body of the bill, so I would say they are eligible to receive the loans.
Is there a legal answer? Senator Sackett has floor.
The change that you have in the first page is an amendment that was proposed in finance and adopted by the Finance Committee, which just basically made technical amendments consistent with what Senator Lyason was doing. It really has nothing to do with the housing loan program as much as it does the cleanup language.
Are there further questions in second reading for purposes of amendment? Senator Ray?
There are no other amendments, and I would move that the Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 663 Finance as amended be advanced to third reading, place and final passage.
Without objection.
So it will be noted there is a letter of intent.
Letter of intent needs to be adopted. You have floor, Senator Second.
I would move for the adoption of the letter of intent. Mr. President, the letter of intent has been distributed to everyone, and there had been an initial letter of intent which was adopted by the Finance Committee. The only change made is on paragraph 2, starting down about a third, where it says the owner, originally it said the owner of the property must guarantee to allow the mobile home to remain on the property for a time period equal to at least 75% of the loan term. That was deleted and now reads equals or exceeds the term of the loan, or if located on rent property, then AHFC will promulgate regulations to ensure the reasonable safety of principal and take into consideration existing federal programs and existing or to be obtained credit insurance. And that would be the letter of intent that I would move and ask unanimous consent for adoption to go with this bill.
Senator Ray?
I don't think you can do that, Mr. President. I don't think you can mix the legislative and the administrative branch together in a regulation-making posture.
To the letter of intent.
Well, Mr. President, I guess I don't understand. It just said it's the intent of the legislature that AHFC promulgate regulations.
Could we stand at ease for a moment, and Senator Sackett? Senator, please come to order. Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, this bill is a part of a four-package bill, and it's difficult to talk about one of them without having to talk a little bit about the whole problem. We've had a number of hearings up in finance looking at the whole housing loan problem that we have statewide with the subsidies, and also looking at the areas where the state is jeopardized in terms of the principal that we have out there. For example, at the present time, according to Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, as of April, of the mobile home outstanding debt, $16 million of it was in jeopardy, with the potential of $60 million being in jeopardy at the end of the year. The attempt of this letter of intent and this bill is to work, and it's expelled out in the last paragraph, is for the House and Finance Committees and the House Special Committee on State Loans to work with the department in working up emergency regulations and some long-term solutions to the problems that we have right now. That is the only reason that's in there, and I want that for the record, in case there's any question as to the connection between the executive and the legislative branch. But we do have a very serious problem here, one that affects the consumers and one that affects the state and our responsibilities to the state's people and their assets. And again, move for adoption of the letter of intent.
Senator Ray?
With the understanding on the record that the legislative members are in an advisory capacity only.
This is one of those times which comes upon us many different times in which there are some things floating out beyond the pale that it's necessary for the legislature to attempt to come to grips with and caricature the contrary. Question is, shall the legislative intent letter be adopted? Unanimous consent was asked. It's adopted. Secretary, read the bill on third reading.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 663, Finance Amended Senate, an act relating to certain state housing loan programs and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion, for debate. Understood. The question is, shall House Bill 663, you have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the vote. As a mobile homeowner, I feel I might have a conflict of interest.
Objection's noted. Question is, shall House Bill 663 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas and 3 absent.
Senator Ray?
I'm going to ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 663 Finance be considered roll, as amended, be considered the roll call on effective date.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 664. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for House Bill Number 664, financed by the Finance Committee, an act making appropriations to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass, signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Fakes, Ferguson, Mulcahy, Josephson, and Vic Fisher.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Ray?
Yes. Amendments. I would move and ask unanimous consent to Committee Substitute for House Bill 664, Finance, be advanced to third reading and placed in final passage.
Without objection. Secretary, read the bill on third reading.
CS House Bill 664, Finance, an act making appropriations to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion debate.
Question.
Question is, shall House Bill 664 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 17 yeas, 3 absent.
Senator Ray?
Moving to ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the Committee Substitute for House Bill 664 Finance be the roll call on the effective date clause in Section 3.
Without objection, so ordered.
Moving to ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Committee Substitute for House Bill 664 Finance be considered the roll call to vote on the effective date clause in Section 4.
No objection, so ordered. Next item on the day of calendar is House Bill 665. Secretary, read House Bill 665.
House Bill Number 665 by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, an act relating to the issuance of tax-exempt, state-guaranteed revenue bonds by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to finance mortgages for qualifying veterans under AS 1856 and providing for an effective date. Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, Fakes, and Vic Fisher. Senator Ferguson signed, no recommendation.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
The absence of amendments?
We're going to ask unanimous consent that House Bill 665 be advanced third reading and placed in final passage.
No objections. Secretary, read the bill.
House Bill Number 665, an act relating to the issuance of tax-exempt, state-guaranteed revenue bonds by the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation to finance mortgages for qualifying veterans under AS 1856 and providing for an effective date.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, this is an authorization of $700 million worth of tax-exempt housing bonds for veterans. At the present time, we have $900 million that's authorized for a total of $1.6 billion under this program. And while these are general obligations, obligation bonds, they are secured by mortgages. And they are, as such, they aren't considered in the total of the state's bonded indebtedness by either Standard & Poor's or Moody's. They're counted in and then subtracted out on the bottom. It's one of those kind of open questions at the time.
Question is, shall House Bill 665 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. If all members voted, does any member desire to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Senator Gilman didn't vote.
Senator Gilman. All members have voted. Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
Roll shows 19 yeas and one nay.
It's been adopted. Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 665 be considered a roll call on the 50-day clause.
Objection. So ordered.
Will we revert to messages from the House?
Messages of 829. The House concurred in the Conference Committee report on House Bill 504, thus passing Conference Committee substitute for House Bill number 504, an act establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program. This is under unfinished business in the Senate. The House adopted the Conference Committee report with limited powers of free conference, considering House Bill 511, thus passing Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 511, an act amending appropriations for operating and capital expenses of state government, EFD. The Senate passed this bill today. The House passed the following in return, Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 470, Rules, Insurance. This has been sent to enrolling.
Do any of those other messages read?
Yes, you may read. First read 707, please. House Bill 707, which would have been on the first page.
One we held on. Read this morning and put under unfinished business. May 28, the House failed to concur in Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 707, Finance Amended Senate, Lobbying, and respectfully request the Senate to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for House Bill number 707, Finance. In the event the Senate fails to recede, the Speaker has appointed a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate to consider the bills. Representative Bettesworth, Chairman, Representatives Furness and Kopanen.
Senator Wright.
I thought we already did that this morning.
Well, we held it to unfinished business, Senator.
I don't even have it here, but I would move that the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 707.
Secretary, please hand this to Senator Ray.
Move that the Senate receive from our
amendments.
Substitute for House Bill 707, Finance, and ask the body to vote no.
Question is, shall the Senate recede from their amendments to House Bill 707? Is there debate? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Does any member desire to change their vote? I have voted. Apparently didn't record. Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 nays and one absent.
We have failed to recede. Point of conference committee, Baron Camp, Paul Fisher, Jan Fakes. Next item, Senator Ferencamp's chairman.
The House passed CS for Senate Bill number 289, Rules Amended, Discharge of Firearms and Hunting and Fishing in State Parks, Marine Parks, Wildlife Preserves, and Recreation Areas with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill number 289, Resources Amended, House, and returned for consideration.
Senator Ray.
Move the Senate concur in the House amendment to the committee substitute for Senate Bill number 289, amended House. Ask the body to vote yes.
Question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 289? You may proceed to vote.
What's the title of 289?
Secretary will void the roll call. Proceed. Does the senator desire a copy of this? Please point.
May we have a brief at ease?
We'll be at ease while the roll. Senate, please come to order. It had been my intention to hold these off till tomorrow, but with Senator Ray's motion to have House messages, I didn't think it was that important with these particular bills to hold them over till tomorrow. I normally would. The question before us is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
Senator Ray.
Move the roll call vote on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 289, Resources Amended in the House, be considered the roll call on effective date clause.
Without objection. Secretary of the Senate, you may proceed.
The House passed the CS for Senate Bill 504, Judiciary Amended, with the following amendment: House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 504, Judiciary, Unauthorized Use of Telecommunication Services, and Return for Consideration.
This is the telecommunications. What the House did was add the words, unless on page 2, line 9, unless the person owned the device before the effective date of this act. That's the scrambler. So I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate concur in the House amendments to committee substitute for Senate Bill 504.